today at Psalm 91. You'll turn there with me. And again, I hope that this, as we're meeting together, that this finds you. I'm sure there's been frustrations this week, difficulties, you know, as we adjust to this new temporary norm. Thank the Lord, our expectations are it won't be permanent. But I'm sure there's been challenges and difficulties this week. Really, this current health crisis has shaken up our security, right? The things that we counted on, just even when I talk about security, our normal everyday expectations, our normal everyday schedules and responsibilities and expectations, everything's been kind of turned upside down right now. And, you know, unfortunately, there are those who have the motto in life, don't let a good crisis go to waste. A lot of politicians sometimes feel that way. But I don't want to, even as a pastor, come across like I've just been waiting for a time where this would happen and now we'll be back. Everybody will attend church more faithfully and people will change and everything. Now, I mean, well, God will use these things to do that. But I'm in this with you all as your pastor. It's frustrating for us as well to be limited, and there's difficulties involved with that. And I understand that. I'm not satisfied or gleeful over the situation. I don't look at this as a way that to take advantage for a pastoral admonition that people will finally listen to or whatever. At the same time, though, as we're all in this boat together, God does always have lessons for us to learn in these times of crisis. But not just lessons, but promises for us to cling to in the storms of life. And for that, it's a privilege for me to get to remind us all of these truths. And this morning, the title of this message is something I took from a hymn you well know, that's well known. It's called A Shelter in the Time of Storm, from Psalm 91. Let's read this together, pray, and then we'll look at it more closely. Psalm 91, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right side, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thy eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in thy hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your security and refuge in the midst of this. And I pray that you will continue to help us as we struggle through as we, Lord, have these difficulties and times upon us, we pray that we would be reminded of the truths of your word. Father, we thank you for this time we're able to meet together. May our time be encouraging, and may we be lifted up in your word as we look at this encouraging psalm together. All this we ask in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. Shelter in the time of storm. Psalm 91. And I want us to be encouraged by this morning. This begins with a message of encouragement. And that is, even as the psalmist begins this particular song, he wants us to know that God provides security in the midst of terrible trouble. Whatever trouble we're facing as individuals, as a church, as a nation, in the midst of terrible troubles, God still gives us security. And you know, we can trust God, can't we? We can trust God to provide secure shelter for us no matter what we are facing. This reminds me, as I'm beginning this message, of a time, and I've told you parts of this story, but in the early 90s, when my family and I lived in near Miami, Florida, many of my brothers were getting ready. I was getting ready to go back to college, and my parents were away. I had two brothers that were away, and it was just me and my brother Wade, and we got news from the local news station that Hurricane Andrew was headed our way. And I've gone through and told you in the past about how we got ready, and there's a lot to that story. I won't get into that. But one of the things that we had to figure out was, were we going to stay in our home where we were, which was a solid foundation, but we'd heard a lot of things that this Hurricane Andrew was going to be the most destructive storm that South Florida had seen in like 100 years or something. And my brother and I were looking around and thinking, I'm not sure this is where we want to be in the midst of this storm. The church that we were attending also had a Christian school, and it was a large structure, a large concrete building with many rooms, hallways, and meeting rooms and auditorium. And it was a very safe place to be. And I just decided, I said, Wade, we don't need to stay here. We've got everything boarded up. Let's just go to the church. And we just got our sleeping bags and pillows and blankets. And it was, you know, it was a real adventure for us, especially as the storm came and we began to look out the windows and we could see what the wind was doing outside and to the trees and the signs and all these things, big, huge palm trees, literally waving back and forth, almost touching the ground. Signs that were attached to poles that were spinning around in the wind. We went out to the entryway. We didn't go out into the storm, but a couple of the entryways where there was a tile floor after the doors, there was water seeping in and a river of water coming in and moving along those tiles. And so we knew that outside, this was a very serious situation. And so we had some fun. We had a lot of friends and different families there and fellowshipped. But then we went to a room in the center of the structure, and we got into our sleeping bags. And you know what? We were able to have a peaceful night's sleep in the midst of a destructive, terrible storm. Now, it ended up that as soon as the hurricane hit the beaches, that it turned about 2 degrees to the south and ended up going an hour south of us. We didn't get even the full brunt of the storm. But I remember that even as the psalmist reminds us in these first few verses about in the midst of the terrible trouble of the storms outside of us, the great refuge that we have in our God. He that dwelleth in the secret place or the shelter, has the idea of shelter there, of the Most High. You know, the greater the threat, the more secure refuge that we seek. The greater the trouble, the more secure that we want to find a protection and make sure that our what we're the dwelling place that we're in, that where we go is more secure. And isn't it wonderful to know, even as we start this passage out, that believers are always sheltered in the most secure setting in the midst of all kinds of trouble, because they have chosen the Most High God, the Almighty God, to place their shelter and to dwell in. If you're a child of God, you have access to dwell with the Most High, the Most Powerful. The Most High has the picture of one that no one else can touch because of their strength and power. And as believers, we should be dwelling. That should be our place of residence, is close to God, abiding in God. That second part of the verse, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And shadow there isn't something ominous. It has the idea of protection, getting shade. It really has the idea of hiding behind someone that's stronger than you. When we were kids, you probably had the experience of maybe being bullied by somebody that was bigger than you. And sometimes if you were blessed, you had a friend that you could go to, or a parent, and run to, and as a small child, hide in their shadow and get relief from the difficulty. Well, it's humbling to admit we need to do this, but we need to admit that we need to run to our Father, the Almighty God, and hide in His shadow. I hear that word abide. I think of that old hymn, "Abide in Me." Fast falls the evening tide, and it talks about the difficulties and even death that someone faces, and how they've chosen to abide with the Almighty. That's the most secure place that we can be. And we should be, even through this difficulty and storm, we should be abiding and hiding in the shadow of our all-powerful, Most High God. Look at these different descriptions in this first part of the psalm for God. Again, it says Most High, the Almighty. That Hebrew is El Shaddai, and you probably have heard that before. All-powerful. Says here as well, I will say of the Lord, that word Lord is Yahweh, the God of Israel, the God that would be everything to His people that they needed. And then He also says there at the end of verse 2, my God. That is a general word for God, but the psalmist says, the God of the universe, the creator of the universe, He's my God. What a wonderful, wonderful thing that we, as God's children who have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we can as well call Him our God. In verse 2, we can say that the God of Israel, our Lord, is my refuge and my fortress. Again, just like last week, we mentioned this, but seeking refuge in God is an admission that we are fully dependent on Him, and it's a humbling thing. Lord, I can't take care of these difficulties on my own. I have to run to You. Like a child, again, running to its father for protection. We don't, as believers, we shouldn't have, again, a tough it out on our own kind of attitude. We need to realize our dependence and who we're trusting in. And so we run to our refuge. And then it says fortress. And in the times that this is being written in, a fortress would have been like a high tower that had a strong wall around it, or a city that had a huge, strong defensive wall. People would run to it and be safe. There was another side of that, as they would run to that and be safe within that, the army could lay siege outside and just wait until they ran out of food and water, and then they would have to come out. But when we run to our refuge, our fortress, which is our God, we don't have to be worried about a siege, because He lays siege to the enemy around us, and we are fully protected. Can we trust that kind of God and that kind of protection, we surely can. We have security because of God's power and strength. God can provide us secure shelter in the midst of great difficulty. We have to be humbled before him. There's a great quote from Charles Spurgeon. I expect you all know who he is. And he says, God does not need your strength. He has more than enough on his own. He asks for your weakness because he has none of that. Good reminder for us. But we can also count on God's sure deliverance. And look at verses 3 through 8 here. And let's think here as we're reading, what are the different things that God can deliver us from? Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome or the deadly pestilence. And then it goes on to give a list of things that God can deliver us from. Think of your greatest nightmare scenario. What is the thing that causes you the most fear? Is it deadly calamity? As it says here, the noisome pestilence has the idea of a deadly virus or a deadly disease or calamity. We have a little bit of an understanding more, I think, than ever before about the onslaught of pestilence, of disease coming our way, and the death that it many times brings. That picture before that, the snare of the fowler, that has the idea of a hunter setting a trap for us and just waiting. Even has, I think, the picture here of Satan himself as the one that walketh about seeking who he wants to devour. And he has a trap laid for us. Can God provide us protection for that too? How about terror that leaves one trembling? Look at verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. This is literally something that scares us so emotionally that we're trembling afterwards. Have you ever experienced something like that? This has the idea of the worst kind of situation, the most scary, even horror movie. And I hope that you're not involved in watching that kind of thing. But when the people tremble and scream as terror comes, can God deliver us from that? The weapons of the enemy. It says here, the arrow that flieth by day, and the weapons of Satan himself and of the enemy, physical and spiritual weapons, those can make us fearful. Also, calamity that stalks in deep darkness. Verse 6. Disease or calamity that is almost like, feels like it's stalking us, and we're trembling, just waiting for it to find us. Continuing to think of nightmarish situations here, it says at the end of verse 6, the destruction that destroys at noonday, utter ruin, destruction, maybe even financial ruin, financial destruction. And then verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right side. Death taking out all of those around you. And we, as we even listen to the media this week and hearing the death rate rise, that can make us nervous. Here's a bunch of different things that the psalmist describes for us that could make us fearful. And yet, in the midst of all that, in the midst of all these terrors and calamities, God offers security and safety. Look at this beautiful, go back to verse 4, this beautiful picture here. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust, or thou shalt find refuge. And you know, if you've ever seen a nature show or snuck up on a little nest and seen a mother bird and how she keeps warm her little babies and how secure they seem, and then until she leaves. But that security that a mother bird gives under the warmth of her wings and her body, that is the kind of security that our Father, our Heavenly Father, offers us in the midst of all of these terrible situations. this beautiful picture. God says, I'll give you refuge. I'll keep you secure. Don't be afraid. The end of verse 4, his truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And that has the idea of the fact that he will be a shield for us in danger that's both far. The shield that it's referring to there was a large shield that a warrior would put in front of them as the armies were shooting arrows from a distance. And that large shield would protect them. But the buckler was the small shield that a warrior would use to protect themselves in the midst of hand-to-hand combat. And so God is offering protection and security when the threats are far away and when they're a whole lot closer. He says, I'll be your shield. I'll be, God says, your dependable protector in the midst of pestilence and war. Again, verse 7. As people are falling left and right on either side of us, God says, it will not come nigh thee. I will protect thee. And then he invites us, verse 8, only with thine eyes shall thou behold, or shall thou look and see the reward, the retribution of the wicked. God says, all of these things that are attacking you, the enemy himself may be attacking you. He says, you stay in my refuge, secure with me, and watch. And I will make sure that the evil ones, your enemies, that they, that justice is brought to them, that they will receive the reward for all that they're doing against you and against me. God says, I'll take care of them. I'll take care of the bullies around you, whether they're people or disease or calamity or financial loss, you know, whatever that is. God says, stick with me, and I'll protect you. We can count on God's sure deliverance, can't we? This reminds me of another situation. When I was a teenager, we lived in a town called Three Rivers, Michigan, where there were, as you would expect by the name of the town, there were three rivers that flowed through the town. And one in particular had a huge bridge, car bridge, that went over it. And we would play in the river sometimes there. And I had a friend who was with me, and he and I were playing on one side. And all of a sudden, we noticed this large group of bigger kids on the other side of the river. And they didn't look, they looked kind of ominous. And so we kept playing, and all of a sudden, they started getting a little boisterous, and they started looking at us. And they saw our bikes that were nearby, and this was a very shallow river. So what they saw our bikes, and they said, hey, guys, let's get them. Well, that's never a good sign when you have a whole group of bigger kids saying that. And so they came across the river and were coming after us, and my friend and I started on our bikes. And my friend remembered an important point that many of you have heard, a joke about the bear in the woods, and that is my friend realized that he didn't have to get away from the bullies. He just had to pedal faster than I did and get farther ahead so that they wouldn't go after him and they would get me instead. And that's exactly what happened. He left me behind to fend for myself. I couldn't get on my bike as fast as he could. He took off, and all of a sudden this group of kids was around me, and they took my bike and they took it away, and there I was left by myself. And I walked up to my friend, I looked at him, I said, thanks a lot for the help. And he said, well, I didn't know what I could have done. There was like, and there was probably about 10 of them, so I understand that. We started walking back home, and we got to the far side of this bridge. And there was a man that at that moment almost looked like an angel. And he was a big guy. And he was on the middle of the bridge on the sidewalk, and he was walking towards us, and he called me. He said, hey, kid, is this your bike? And I looked, and he had my bike. And I thanked him, and he came over and handed it to me, had a big smile on his face. And I realized that this man had been watching the whole thing, and he was obviously a very strong, big individual, and he had somehow, I'd like to think of some specific ways and how he got my bike back. I didn't see how, but he'd gone to this group and gotten my bike securely from them and brought it back to me. He was looking out for me. In that moment, this man that I never met again was my protector. That's what God in the end here is providing for and is promising us. He is our protector. And we need to remember that. So God provides security in the midst of terrible trouble. Let's continue to look at verses 9 through 13. God provides protection when evil pursues. These are these situations where it just feels like trouble is pursuing us. You ever had a situation where you just feel like, man, I can't get away from difficulty? And it just seems like I've had more than my share. Trouble's almost pursuing me. Just leave me alone, please. And we can find refuge even when evil seems to be pursuing us. So verse 9 shows us our response, by the way, to these truths that God is our protector and our security, that he provides us a shelter in the time of storm. Let's look at verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation or thy dwelling place. What is our response when these troubles come? Is not to get bitter and angry, but to decide to trust and run to God. And the psalmist here invites people to do what he has done. He's saying here, the Lord is my refuge. Come, hide with me. This is the place you ought to be. Make the choice. Decide to run to God and find refuge in him. Join me in this safe place. Abide in him. Abide in our heavenly Father. Dwell in him, the Most High, thy habitation. He can take care of you. Do you know, and we need to be reminded of this, trouble trembles before the Most High God. We tend to tremble before trouble. But we need to remember that in actuality, trouble trembles before the Most High God. And we need to run to him. In verse 10, let's read the rest of this. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep or guard thee in all thy ways and bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And then it goes on further about the predators that we face. We'll talk about that in a minute. Wonderful truth here, but there is something that we need to mention in the midst of all this, and maybe you've thought about it. Well, Pastor Brock, does this mean then that trouble will never bother us? Is God saying here that troubles will never come and affect us in any way as believers? And that may make us feel uncomfortable because we all know in our personal experience, even in our national experience, that that's not the case. We're affected by trouble. It seems like trouble sometimes chases us down and has an effect on us, and it does. And causes damage to maybe our physical and financial well-being. So does that mean that God hasn't been true to this promise of being our protector and secure provider? Well, no, of course not. We can feel that way sometimes. But what we need to remember is, as terrible as the trouble gets, that it's never out of control. Trouble is never in chaos where it's just out of control and more powerful than anything that can be done. No, God is in charge and control of all of that. And if he's allowing you to be touched by trouble, he's powerful enough to only let it happen for a specific amount of time that he has planned ahead of time to bring us, to help us to depend more on him. God allows trouble to touch us many times because it reminds us, oh yeah, I've been doing things on my own independently, and I need to run to him, like the psalmist said, and make him my shelter again. I've stepped out of God's protection and living life like I'm in control of my life. I should never have done that. I need to go back and be reminded and live in the shelter of the Almighty God. And of course, a reminder, too, that when God allows trouble into our lives, when we go through deep waters, difficult times, he doesn't send us to go out alone. But the God who is in control of all things and can handle the biggest bullies in life, so to speak, goes with us. His presence is always with us. So we can find protection even against the most powerful predators. Name your most feared predator. think of animals. Some of you are scared of spiders, small or large. Don't like any spiders. Well, I don't think any of us love spiders. Snakes. I wouldn't want to be in a safari without protection in Africa and see a lion. They're great to watch on television and nature shows, but I wouldn't want to be in the same field or area with one. You name the creature that you would be most terrified to be around. And the psalmist gives us a few of those in verse 13. The lion, strong, powerful creature that you wouldn't want to find in a cage with at the zoo. They're great to watch outside the cage, would never want to be inside the cage. And the adder, that's a type of snake. Or the young lion, the one that has more energy and is able to get to you faster. And then it says here, the dragon, and that brings up a powerful image for us. But is this really what the Bible, what the author meant as far as thinking of a fire-breathing, flying-winged dragon? Well, no, in the Hebrew, this is actually a word that seems to more portray a very poisonous, deadly serpent. And that's still troublesome, right? We wouldn't want to get anywhere near that. We've seen probably some nature shows where some of these guys like to get close, these guys that know animals well, and try to grab the snake before they get bit. And that always, I don't enjoy those kinds of things. I think, why in the world would that guy do that? But here, the psalmist actually calls us, says that we can tread upon these dangerous animals. Well, what is he talking about there? Because in verse 11, he's already pointed out that God will give us protection. And they will be the very angels in heaven. This may be one of those verses that points to the fact that the Bible doesn't come out clearly and say this, but I do believe that God gives us guardian angels. Don't know how many. Some of us need more than others. But he will give his angels charge or command over thee. You know what? We hear a lot about Secret Service protection for our president and for our leaders. Secret Service protection can't outperform angelic protection. 24-hour protection guaranteed here in this psalm. And it will keep us from the seemingly small things in life and the deadly predators, even dashing thy foot against a stone. You know, talking about stumbling here, that may seem like a small thing, but if you stumble in the wrong place, you can actually have a serious accident, and many people have died from stumbling. So stumbling isn't a small thing most of the time as well. And this protection that God offers keeps us from that, keeps us from predators. And what the psalmist is saying here is that God's power is superior. And we need to remember that. Let's continue on here and look at the last part of these verses and see that God provides rescue when we depend upon him. This passage does also focus on our responsibility before God. And it's described here. Verse 14, because he hath set or holds fast his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. We can expect God's rescue when we live for him, and our responsibility is described here. Yes, God's power will keep us, and God is in control, and he has the power to help us when we have no power at all. But God does expect us, a responsibility is to be true to him and to be faithful, and he will help us to do that. But we're called upon to hold fast our love, to hold fast to God, to be deeply devoted to God. And then we can expect rescue, he says. The next verse, I will call him, I will set him on high, the second part of verse 14, because he hath known my name. That's calling us commitment to knowing God well. Verse 15, he shall call upon me and I will answer him and I will be with him in troubles. This is, we're called upon to be ready to call on God at any time for help. Deeply devoted to God, committed to knowing God well, and ready to call upon him when trouble comes. We need to be dependent upon God and he will rescue us. And then he will also, on top of that, give us blessings, the benefits we have, our deliverance, protection, an answer to our prayers. His presence with us under intense pressure, that trouble there in verse 15. That word actually has the idea of squeezing someone intense pressure. Have you felt intense pressure this week? Have you felt like you're being squeezed in these situations that we're going through? God says, look to me and I'll rescue you. I'll go through that with you. I'll help you. And then he offers blessings at the end. Look at the end of verse 15. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. God will in some way even bring honor and respect to those that choose him to put their faith and trust in him, to choose him as their refuge. Now at the end of this verse here, we have this promise of long life and his salvation. And I think we know that this doesn't mean that we're all, if we're faithful to God and by his help follow him and are committed to him, that we're all going to live to be 110. Some of us don't even want to think about living that long. But that doesn't mean automatically we're going to have that long life. Well, what does it mean here is that regardless of what kind of life, how long we're here on this earth, this looks ultimately to the eternal fulfillment. We have eternal long life. We know as believers, as the children of God, that we will live with God forever. And it says, I will show him my salvation. And here, a general word for his deliverance. But we know in the New Testament that God gets more specific. What is that salvation? Jesus Christ, the Messiah, will come and live and fulfill God's law and die as the perfect sacrificial lamb and provide then salvation that is offered to us freely when we put our faith and trust in him. And that salvation will have ultimate ramifications for eternity. We literally will be saved and be with God for all eternity and will live with him forever, being protected forever. There will come a time where Jesus returns and he will permanently take out all of our enemies. And we will live in security and protection and know that all the time. What a wonderful promise that awaits us. But in the meantime, God says, be dependent on me, follow me, and I'll deliver you. I'll walk through those difficult things. As we finish here, you know, Jesus was a good example of this. Satan distorted this very psalm when he reminded Jesus of verse 11, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And Jesus knew that this wasn't referring to the fact that he wouldn't experience any trouble, that the angels would protect him from all trouble, because Jesus was facing the cross. And yet he knew that his heavenly Father would still be with him, that his will would be accomplished, and all of the things that were happening to him were for a purpose, and that God does have the power to swoop in at any time and take care of us. And if he doesn't, and he allows us to go through difficult things, then he has a purpose for that. So as we continue, as we finish up here and continue to go through these difficult times, hopefully in just another couple weeks, maybe a month or so, let's remember that God's in control of all these things and he is capable and powerful to handle them all. So let's run to him. What is your greatest fear? What causes you the most stress and anxiety? The psalmist reminds us the more we get to know God and serve him faithfully, the more we will seek his care and trust more fully in him, and he will not let us down. Another quote from Charles Spurgeon here, the Lord is in character holy, just, true, gracious, faithful, and unchanging. Is not such a God to be trusted? Let us trust in that God for what we face today. Father, thank you for your word. Help us to be encouraged by these truths, that you are our protector, our defender, and our security. Help us to remember, even this week as we face so many different things, to find security and to take security in you, and that we will not be disappointed in that. Help us to remember as we go through troubles this week that you go through those with us and your presence is with us at all times. Help us to cling to you and cling to these promises when we face difficulties that I know will come this week. Let us be encouraged that we can run to you and have security and protection from the bullies of life. And Lord, let our people firmly experience that this week and whatever they face. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.